Hi, this is Daniel Garb of the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Toronto Spring Film Festival season continues with Inside Out closing, TJFF opening, and soon followed by three more. Toronto Japanese Film Fest offers you the chance to watch the best of contemporary Japanese cinema, including samurai, anime, dramas, and art house films running June 6th through 20th at the Japanese Canadian Cultural Center. The Future of Film Showcase, celebrating rising young Canadian talent with three world premieres, including the directorial debut for actor Aaron Poole at the lovely Paradise Theatre from June 20th to the 23rd, and the ICFF Lavazza Inclusity Festival, set for June 27th and continuing through most of July, featuring films from Italy and around the world, accompanied by delicious food and projected outdoors on a giant screen in the Distillery District. But this week, I'm looking at three new features. There's a young cheerleader trying to rise to the top, convicted criminal trying to elevate his innocence, and dead bodies rising from the grave. Black Spot, co-written and directed by D.W. Watterson. Riley, played by Devery Jacobs, is a high school student obsessed with cheerleading. Along with her best friend and girlfriend, Amanda, played by Kudakwashe Rutendo, they hope to get a place on the Thunderhawk squad, the highly competitive award-winning varsity team in their school. They do handsprings, half turns, and everything else they need to qualify acrobatically, but despite how hard they try, it seems unlikely until that team has an accident, leaving three empty spots open to new members. And no one is more surprised than Riley and Amanda when they both win places. Riley is the backspot, part of the base of the human formations they build on the floor. The third member, and self-described as the third wheel for the center spot, is Tracy, played by Shannon Sossaman, known for her slim build, perfect face, and hair. As a not-so-perfect cheerleader points out, it's as much about your looks as it is about your talent. The Thunderhawks is headed by two alpha leaders, the Cold as Ice head coach, Eileen, played by Evan Rachel Wood, of the Winning is Everything School of Thought, and assistant coach, Devin, played by Thomas Anthony Olajide, just as much perfectionist, but with a hidden secret life. Before joining the Thunderhawks, Riley and Amanda were inseparable, cuddling at the movies while picking out on popcorn and licorice. Amanda's a part-timer at the movie theater. But as Riley becomes more and more tense, her fear of failure turning into panic attacks, they wonder whether their relationship can stand this much pressure. Can Riley balance her sports life with her love life and family? Can she survive all the potential accidents that come with the sport? Or will it drive her off the cliff? Backspot is a good sports movie about friendships, relationships, and competition. It's a local film set in Toronto and stars Indigenous actress Devery Jacobs, known for Reservation Dogs, of the Kanawake Mohawk Nation in a very strong performance, and they all also seem to do their own stunts and acrobatics, which is very impressive. I like both the sports parts and the home parts of the film. The one thing I wish for, though, is more camera time spent on the actual performance and less on the endless rehearsals and training. The grand finale is less oomph than the lead up to it. Still, it's an exciting and moving portrait of a woman's sport. The Goldman Case, directed by Cédric Kahn. It's the 1970s in a French courtroom. Pierre Goldman, played by Arie Vorthalter, is on trial for the murder of two women in the armed robbery of a pharmacy. He was convicted of this crime earlier, but has always pled innocent to that, and is now at a retrial of his case. He wrote a celebrated autobiography while in prison outlining his story, and many supporters are there in the courtroom calling for his freedom. Born in German-occupied France to two Jewish-Polish-born communist members of the French resistance during World War II, he later became a radical leftist himself. He traveled to Cuba and Venezuela to join the revolutionaries and the guerrillas there, but rejected the protests in Paris of 1968 as a performance. Back in France, he supports himself through small-scale holdups and robberies. He admits to these crimes, but not to violence or murder, insisting he would never kill someone, especially not a woman, and would never rat out another person to the authorities, even if their testimony could set him free. At the trial, Goldman is a loose cannon, interrupting his own lawyers, calling the courtroom system a farce, and accusing the police force as being a racist organization. His lawyer, played by Arthur Harari, is increasingly frustrated, saying Goldman is committing suicide with his impromptu testimony. But will he be found guilty or innocent of the crimes of murder? The Goldman case is a powerful dramatic retelling of an actual famous trial. No flashbacks, no memories, no reenactments of the crime here, merely a series of witnesses, testimonies, and cross-examinations. The acting is superb, with Arie Vorthalter winning this year's César, that's the French Oscars, for Best Actor for his amazing characterization of Goldman. In North America, we're inundated by such trials, both real and imaginary, in the news media, on TV shows, and in courtroom dramas. But French trials, which portray a very different legal system, are becoming increasingly popular in great films such as Anatomy of a Fall and Saint-Omer. There's a different kind of emotion and drama there. Courtroom dramas can be tedious, but this one really kept my attention the whole time. I wanted to see this movie first because its director, Cédric Kahn, tells stories like this of non-conformist anti-heroes who reject mainstream society while holding on to certain core beliefs. This one fills that pattern exactly. The Goldman case is an intriguing drama about a real event. Handling the Undead, co-written and directed by Thea Hvistedal. It's present-day Oslo, Norway. Three families are going through a period of mourning, having lost people near and dear to their hearts. A single mom, played by Renata Reinsve, and her father, Mahler, have been catatonic since the death of her little boy. She works in an industrial kitchen while he is retired, but they can barely speak to one another. An elderly woman, played by Bente Bursum, is bereft when her longtime romantic lover and partner dies. She misses dancing and talking, listening to music with her. And when Eva dies in an unexpected accident, her close-knit family, her husband David, played by Anders Danielsen Lie, a stand-up comic, their rebellious teenage daughter Flora, and their young son Kian, is left shocked and rudderless. They walk through their days on autopilot, celebrating the boy's birthday, but with little happiness. But something strange is in the air after a citywide power outage. Grandpa, who slept on his grandson's grave, hears a knocking coming from underground. He digs up the coffin and carries the boy home with him. David is at a hospital when his wife, who died in the accident, seems to stir again. And when Torah, that's the elderly woman, reclaims her lover's living body from her casket, laying in state at the funeral home, she feels like it's a gift of the gods. Somehow, the dead are waking up again. But are they still the same people the living remember? Handling the Undead is a very slow and low-key horror movie about how ordinary people react to a seeming miracle despite all indications to the contrary. It's beautifully shot indoors and out among natural beauty and scenic islands on the water, and it has a compelling soundtrack. It's based on the novel by John Ivide Lindqvist, who also wrote Let the Right One In, another very good movie. And like this one, despite elements of the supernatural, much of the story is devoted to ordinary, banal lives. So part of the movie is devoted to the rebellious daughter and her boyfriend, just hanging out in the shack, smoking drugs and having sex. Nothing to do with the undead at all. There are also repeated scenes of ritual cleansing and ablutions of the dead bodies, both loving and grotesque. The living interact with the undead, with one, the single mom, going so far as to carry her son to a cabin on an isolated island to avoid trouble with the police. But there's a dark, enveloping, metaphoric cloud of misery and sorrow hanging over the city that seems totally empty and deserted. If you're looking for a screaming, bloody slash film, you're looking in the wrong place. But if you like pondering, pensive, Nordic art house horror, this is a good one for you. The Goldman Case is playing at the Toronto Jewish Film Festival, and Handling the Dead and Blackspot both opened theatrically this weekend in Toronto. Check your local listings. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and at my website, culturalmining.com.